Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, turn to John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6. We're going through the book of John, focusing on Jesus this year. What better subject could we focus on, huh? Jesus Christ. John chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible today, ushers are coming down, and you can borrow one if you just left it at home. If you don't have a Bible, then just take this one home. Let this be our gift to you. We're going to look at a section of Scripture, John 6, and I'm going to talk to you about seeking God and what happens when we find Him. Matthew 7:7 says, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, the door will be open to you. So I'm going to talk to you about seeking Jesus and what happens when you find Him. We're going to look at a group of people who were seekers. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to touch Jesus. They wanted to have an encounter with Jesus, but they were shocked. They were surprised. They came to Jesus thinking they'd get a little comfort, and they got a confrontation. Now, I got to tell you guys, it didn't work out all that well, because at the end of the chapter, a lot of disciples left. Now, have you ever been shocked and surprised when you met someone and you thought that they were going to be one way, but you discovered they were something totally different? That's what happened here. I can remember my first blind date. I was 17 years old. Her name was Lynn Rogers, was in Vancouver, British Columbia, because I was living up there at the time. Became an immigrant to Canada, dual citizen, going to college at that time. First blind date. And when I saw her, I was shocked. I'd say even stunned. Very, very surprised. This girl was drop dead gorgeous. Not as good looking as my wife here now today. I need to add that. She's here this service. This girl was drop-dead gorgeous. I was shocked, stunned. And she was shocked, too. Unfortunately, it wasn't in the same way. Now, what happens to these guys who meet Jesus, they're shocked by what happens, and it doesn't end up right. Listen, if you're there now in John 6, let's go to the end of the story, because it's important. Verse 60, on hearing what Jesus said to them that day, many of his disciples said, man, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And if you skip down to verse 66, it says, from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It even caused Jesus to look to his 12 disciples and say, are you going to leave too? And they said, no, we've discovered that you really do have the words of life. So this message that Jesus gave, it didn't turn out well. A lot of disciples left. Now, I feel as though I should give you a warning today. You know when you watch those movies, any movie that comes on, at first it's like, warning. This movie contains graphic sexual material, violence, whatever it contains. So don't listen or don't enter unless you're prepared for that. And I feel as though I'm supposed to say to you, as I talk to you, warning, you might get offended. It might stir you in such a place that it ticks you off. We may have a lot of room next week for people to come. Plenty of room. I feel as though I should tell you that if at any time it just becomes a little bit too much for you, you have the pastor's permission to put your fingers in your ears and squeeze and softly go, la, 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 la. And then you can breeze through the hurt. But this portion of Scripture is something that causes people to leave. And so it's, I don't know what you came expecting today. They came expecting something significant, and they got something totally different. They came expecting comfort. They got a confrontation. What they wanted is food, and we'll see it right now in just a few moments as we read it. And have you ever run to food for a little bit of comfort? You want something, they call it comfort food? Well, they came to Jesus to get some food for comfort, and they got a confrontation. And here's what it says in John chapter 6. We're going to start verse 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite side of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered with the disciples, but was gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. They were now in search of Jesus. They were seeking Jesus. When they found him, and this is a funny verse. It won't sound funny, but I want you to pick up in a few moments what's happening here. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, but not because you saw miraculous signs, or not because you saw God working through me and you believe that I am God and his servant, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." In other words, you got some free food. That's why you're back. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So the first thing that we find here is that they were seeking after God. And that's why you're here. Isn't that true? I mean, I would dare say that everyone in this room, unless your husband said to you, "You know, if you don't come to church, I'm leaving you." Or the wife said it to the husband. So maybe there may be some other motivation. But I would guarantee that the largest percentage of people here, that you are seekers of Jesus. You are seeking. And these guys were seeking Jesus. I mean, they were looking. Did you pick it up? This day was very, very busy. And Jesus had a lot of compassion for these people. And that's one of the first things you ought to note about this text is that it says the next day these people began to seek Jesus. The day before, all day long, Jesus was teaching everybody. All day long, the disciples were feeding people. 5,000 men, it says, plus women and children. Have you ever helped serve 10 to 15, 20 people? Last month when we did a memorial service for Dee Falaka, there was about 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 people here, and about hundreds of people came back for a meal. I'm telling you, if you're serving that many people, you get tired at the end of the day. And so they got done the serving. Then the guys got in the boat. They had a big storm. They were up all night. Jesus was up all night. He was walking on water. They came to the other side. They were tired. Mark 6, Matthew 14, another place where this episode is recorded. It says that they were trying to get away to have some time. They didn't even have time to eat. They were serving everybody, but they didn't even have time. They needed some time alone. And then all these people came. And here these people get in their boats, and they're seeking Jesus. But Jesus says he looked at them and he said they're like people without a shepherd. And so he had compassion on them. Now listen, if you and I don't understand that, we'll miss the context of this text because it seems like Jesus is pretty hard. He's kind of harsh. They're trying to be friendly and he cuts to the chase. You aren't here because of what you think God is doing. You're here because of what you can get. And let me tell you now that Jesus is doing this because he's compassionate for these people. Everything he does for you, he loves you. Nothing that happens in your life is outside of his notice. When God allows something to happen in you and through you or even to you, it is because he knows that it's going to develop and shape you properly. If he had his desires, he would never mention anything about your problems. He'd cover you with his love. It says perfect love covers a multitude of sins. He wants you to discover those things that are wrong. But if you don't discover those, you know what he does? He tries to counsel you. He sent you his word. He says, I hope my people read my word. I sent them a love letter. I hope they read it every day because if they do, I'll be able to talk to them. I'll point some things out that they really need. But there are some people who just won't read his word. So what does he have to do? He tries to cover them. He tries to counsel them. He's got to confront them. And if he confronts them and they don't change, what does he have to do? He has to chastise them. So you see this foundational process of God dealing with mankind. He covers their sin, he counsels through the word, but then he has to confront, and then ultimately he will chastise because he loves you and he loves me. And these men and these women, they're seeking Jesus, and they're motivated. I mean, they're looking in boats. Okay, well, he's not in that boat. Oh, here comes some more boats from Tiberias. Let's look in those. Now he's not there. Well, I heard that he went across the lake. Let's get in our boats and go. Well, the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long. It's 8 miles wide. So they had to at least row and put their sails up for 4 miles. That's quite a long distance. They were motivated. Don't tell me they didn't love Jesus. They wanted to get to him. They wanted to touch him. Now listen, sometimes the other night I was hungry for a hamburger. Have you ever had a night where you're just hungry for something, just on one specific thing? And if we got the hamburger, we don't have any buns. I was so lazy, I wouldn't even get in my car and drive 3 blocks, let alone roll 4 miles to see Jesus. And they were motivated, but when they got him and when they found him, they were surprised. They got the time of their life. There's a book called Surprised by the Spirit, by the way. If you've never read it, this is a great book. This one guy was just kind of walking along in his life, living his life. All of a sudden, he encountered a power encounter. When you touch the life of Jesus and you encounter him, all of a sudden, he'll surprise you. Now, look at verse 25. It says, where have you been? Now, here's how I interpret that. Hey, they finally see Jesus. They've been seeking him. They say, hey, what's up, Jesus? Where you been? I've been looking for you. You are a hard man to find. Wow. Come on. How'd you get here? When did you get here? Now, you'd think that Jesus just would kind of have a little bit of chit-chat, kind of like a little bit of, hey, let's shoot the breeze together. No, guys, well, I got here last, blah, blah. We had a long day yesterday. You know, he doesn't even respond. He just says, you know, you're not here because of what you saw happen. You're here to get something. Wow. You talk about throwing cold water on a hot fire. It's like he doesn't like to mince words. Have you ever found that to be true, that in conversations with people, if you just continue to talk about what they're talking about, you can just go on and on forever, back and forth? It is easy to be critical today. It's easy to point out all the things that are wrong. If you ride the bus and you get on a bus and you sit down next to someone and someone says, hey, I'm going to be late for work again because this bus is always late. And then you say, yeah, I know. I tried to get here last week, and it was late there too. Yeah, I know. I don't know why we have to stop at these stops when there's no people there. Why can't they just go through and make better time? Yeah, I know. Well, this bus driver, he stopped for coffee and got a donut while we're waiting on him to come back. And then if that's not enough, you start talking. Yeah, my sister in New York. Now you're shifting states and family. Well, yeah, they have the bus system back there, but their subways are terrible. Then you've got the crime on the subway. Oh, I'm telling you, yeah, I'm afraid to get on the subway. And you go, it can go on for hours. But what happens if you get on the bus and the first person's complaining and moaning and groaning, and this bus is this, and what happens to say, you know, the bus has always been on time for me. I've never been late. What does it do? Oh. End of conversation. See, that's kind of what's happening here. These guys are wanting to have some conversation, and here Jesus is kind of, hey, there's an end to this. He's a bottom-like type of person. Sometimes we can go expecting one thing and get another thing. Frank Avedia, he's a brother in the body of Christ. He had open heart surgery recently. He told me, and I confirmed the story with him yesterday because I got it wrong. This morning after first service, because I got it wrong in the first service. I was alluding to someone else. But Frank went into the hospital because he had some problems with his leg, and he came out of the hospital with a bypass surgery. I think it was 4 or 5 arteries had been closed. He went in for one reason, expecting to get some pain medication for the leg, came out with heart surgery. Acts chapter 3, a beggar sitting by the gate of Jerusalem puts out his hand and says, please, I need some money. I don't have any food. He expected some money, but he didn't get money. Peter and John said, silver and gold, we don't have any money. We're broke. But what I do have you, I'll give you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he walked. Naaman, he came to Elijah. Naaman is a guy in the Old Testament who was a leader. He had leprosy. He wanted to be healed. He heard that he could be if he went to this prophet. He went to the prophet called Elijah, and he says he expected Elijah to come out and wave a wand over him and say, you're healed, and then he goes home. He didn't get that. He had to go down and dip 7 times in an old dirty stream, and then finally he got his healing. He went expecting one thing, but he got something totally different. So what does Jesus say? He says in verse 26, you're seeking me for what you can get. Hey, you were there yesterday, weren't you? You got the feeding at the 5,000. You were pretty impressed, weren't you? Wife didn't have to cook, didn't have to worry about kids. Here, you're back today, aren't you? So you can get a free meal. You want to save a little bit of money. You're just going to kind of probably follow me around the country so I can just keep feeding you. See, subtly, if we're not careful, we can turn into a meism church. Suddenly, it's all of a sudden, I'm seeking God, but why am I seeking God? I'm seeking him for what I can get and not necessarily what I can give. Now, that's what the word was all about this morning that just came, and I wasn't privy to that word. But he says, you and I got to get the mind of Christ to understand it's not about getting, it's really about giving. I have received so much already. Now, where can I give that away? The Lord is obviously saying that to us in the sense that was just spoken a few moments ago. So they were coming. He said, you came because you get. I'm not even sure that they were aware of it, guys. I'm not even sure that they were aware. But Jesus confronts them with this. He reveals their motivation. He reveals their heart. Why? Why did he do that? Is it because he wanted to belittle them? He wanted to criticize them? He wanted to berate them? He wanted to condemn them? Not at all. He had compassion for them because he knows that if they don't uproot that me-ism type spirit, that they will ultimately cease to grow. And somehow their spiritual life will come to an end. You see, Frank Azevedo needed heart surgery more than he needed pain medication for his leg. That lame man at the gate needed to walk, learn to walk more than he needed money. Naaman needed to get healed more than he needed to keep his pride intact. They needed confrontation, not necessarily comfort. They needed a little fathering, not a little mothering. And when kids want some mothering, oh, I'm so, I hurt. Oh, come here, honey. Come here. It's going to be okay. Oh, let me look at that, you know. But they get a little fathering. It's going to be okay, kid. Get out there and go for it. A little fathering. And so suddenly we can become a me-ism church. I want you to watch this video. It takes about 1 minute and 22 seconds and see what you think.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all you.
Now, I'm not really sure that these guys who were seeking Jesus really knew what was in their heart. You know, they have some blind spots, and that's why we need Jesus to help us see what we can't see ourselves. It happens so subtly. We could even be in church like we are today and be singing songs about God and his name is used, and this disease, this me-ism church has stepped in and we don't even realize. Let's sing a song together and see if you can see just a subtle difference in what we're talking about.
No turning back, raise my banner high. It's not for you, it's all for me. Let the heavens shake.
some. Don't raise your hand if you're here and you didn't even notice the difference, but there is a difference there. You know, we usually sing it, the world behind me, the cross before me. And it really is all about Him. But so subtly, we can find ourselves going to church, seeking Jesus for what we can get. There's a leading pastor in the United States. He has a mega church that's just exploding overnight. Several churches that are birthing. He says, when I look at the seekers that I see coming, I see three different types. I see the first type of seekers are those who are coming for what they can benefit from, what they can get. But when they stop receiving something, they're gone. The second group are those who come and they commit themselves to following Jesus. And as long as it's comfortable, as long as it's convenient, they will continue to serve and give. And then there's the third set of seekers that come and they've fallen in love with Jesus and they're willing to sacrifice and do whatever. So unfortunately, when I look at that video and I laugh, kind of like some of you did, when I hear that song and I laugh, I laugh because it seems funny, but it's very, very sad because our culture is inundated with a mentality like this. And you know what's even sadder? I've got it in me. I can see it in me. I see how many times I want Jesus to serve me and give me what I want. I was in a board meeting this past week with seven other members, and I was leading that meeting, and I went around the room, and I says, let's talk about what's positive instead of what's negative. What's God been doing? And one guy said, Martin Powers, he says, well, last week I woke up, and I felt like I was supposed to say to God, God, I'm not asking for anything today. I'm just going to thank you today. And I'll tell you, you know, so I don't care how mature you are, myself included, when you are asked to just give thanks to God verbally for 10 minutes, find out how hard that is. Ask a person to thank God and they start praying almost immediately, giving me something, asking to do something. And sometimes we're takers, we're not givers. I wish I had time to talk about Michael Jackson's death, but some of the people that we admire are takers. Are takers. There's certain things that happen in our lives that reveal to us that we want, and we're seeking Jesus for what we can get. Now, here's where you might want to go, la, 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 because there's a lot of people in the church today who want quality child care for their kids. But then they would drop their kids off, and they'll complain when they don't get them. And we have this happen on a weekly basis. They don't get their kids fast enough because they can't get to Denny's quick enough, and they want their kids out, but they'll never spend one moment helping in the nursery. So for some Christians, they seek God, and it would take them 20 to 30 minutes to go through their checkbook and their fight to find the last time they gave anything of any substance at all to the work of the living God to advance His kingdom. You find this in all places, and I'm not here to throw stones, and that's what Jesus didn't do. Do you notice He didn't criticize them? He didn't condemn them? He didn't berate them? He didn't belittle them? He challenged them, verse 27. Stop doing that. Stop laboring for the food that perishes. Now, He's not suggesting that you stop, everybody quit your jobs and let the government support you. No, there's biblical teaching. You don't want to work, you shouldn't eat. Don't come to the church office and go to the pantry if you're unwilling to work. You got to get a job. You should carry your own way. Too many people are being carried by the government. Too many people are wanting a handout. Too many people get comfortable in that lifestyle, and they just want to, it's not much, but it gets me by, and so therefore, I don't want to work for myself. There's something desperately wrong with that. So He's not suggesting that we stop working for the food, but He is saying, listen, stop making the temporal life your priority. There's something more important. There's another type of food, and He goes on to define to another type of food. He says, there's a food that you eat, and you have to have bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, the Bible says. We need some bread. We've got to feed ourselves. But He lives by the Word of God. There's another food. And this whole text of Scripture that we don't have time to read, He starts talking about this food. He says, I am the bread of life. It's one of the first statements He makes. There's seven I am statements that we'll cover next week in the book of John. Seven, I am the bread of life. And He says, you have to eat my flesh and you got to drink my blood. And all of a sudden, we got people saying, whoa, I don't like that. Hey, I want a message on grace. I want a message on love. I want one on peace. I don't want to be told I should serve in the nursery. I don't want to be told that I should actually go out and pray on Saturday at 8 o'clock till 9. I want to sleep in. I got my lawn to mow. I got things to do. Don't tell me I should go out and pray for the community that's dying and going to hell and doesn't know God. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the good stuff. You see, that's what ticked people off. They wanted to believe in a God that they wanted to believe in. And Jesus confronts them right at the very core issue, because out of the heart, the life flows. You and I are concerned many times with how we do something and what we do. Jesus is very concerned with why you do what you do. And that's why he reveals the very heart here. Hey, let's forget the chit-chat. Let's get down to business. It's heart issue. God wants to do heart surgery. You've come to me. You're seeking after me. Did you just look for another good time? Is there another free meal? Did you hear we're giving away free hot dogs last week? Is that why you came back? Or are you coming because you really want change? You really want me to do something? You really know that I am the living God walking among you. See, that's the people that God wants to touch. And while he never criticizes those who seek him for the food, he does challenge them to move beyond that. Now remember, guys, that the book of John is one of the few books that tells us why it was written. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, a lot of miraculous things are recorded, but we've recorded these things in this book, John is talking, so that you might believe. And in believing, in growing in your faith, you will have everlasting life, eternal life. Not just going to heaven, but you'll experience life. And in John chapter 5 through 12, Jesus is meeting opposition. In chapters 5 through 12, he's trying to do the will of the Father, but people are opposing him. Listen, you're going to reach a point in your Christian life where you're going to have to deal with this me-ism gospel that's preached today. And if you don't deal with it, your spiritual life will cease to grow. The progression of faith will be hindered at that point. You've got to break beyond, I'm here because of what I can get. I'm here because of the comfort and the convenience. No, I'm here to sacrifice to a living God who died for me, who gave everything for me. That's the heart attitude. So he loves these people enough to address that, and he confronts them, and then he challenges them. Now, on my way to work, I said, what? Actually, I didn't even say this to the Lord. They came to me as three responses that you and I can have if our heart's wrong. Some of you came expecting one thing. Maybe you're not getting what you expected today. They came and they needed heart. They had heart problems. They needed God to touch their hearts. And I says, after the Lord began to speak to me on my way here, I just wrote these down. These three responses you and I can make in reference to a message like this. Number one, David in Psalms 139 said, search me, O God. Try my ways. Show me what's really going on inside. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart's deceitful. You think you know what's going on, but really it can be deceitful. So David says, I invite you, Father. We can say, I invite you, Jesus, to search my way and show me what's really going on. Talk to me. Show me the blind spots. How many of you know you can't see everything about what's going on in your life? You need some help. You need someone who can see out there. If you're a lady here today and your mascara is running, you look like you're a raccoon walking around, wouldn't you like someone to say, by the way, you ought to check your mascara. You look like a raccoon. Or if you got lipstick that's going up your lip, wouldn't you like someone to share that with you? I mean, Jesus sees that. That's the uncanny thing about Jesus. He actually can see what's going on in the hearts of people. I like some television programs that are coming on recently. I'm not a great TV watcher, but we do tape some and watch them. And one of them is called Lie to Me, I think it is. I think it's Lie to Me. I like that because the guy can, just through watching people, and he's kind of, I wouldn't say dorky, but he's kind of, he looks at people, and he knows what's going on inside, and that's what Jesus... See, the disciples, they may have been impressed by a lot of numbers. We got quite a few people here today, and we can be impressed with a large group of people, but he wasn't impressed with large numbers. He knew the hearts of people. He wasn't there to draw large crowds. He was there to change the hearts of people, and that's what he wanted to do. And the disciples could have been impressed, but he wasn't. So he addresses this. He can see in there. Don't you love that? It's kind of intimidating, though. He knows everything that's going inside of me. He can see. There's another program called The Listener, and I don't know if that's any good or not. We haven't watched enough of them, but he can actually read the thoughts of people. He knows what's going on inside. So when you're looking there, he says, hey, how are you? Oh, good to see you. And inside you're saying, what an idiot. I hope we're getting this over quickly. You know, some of the things that go on. I remember as a little kid, I read those comic books, and I loved those little ads that says you can buy x-ray glasses, and you can see through things. I didn't have the purest of motives. My hormones were changing, and I can't just suggest that I was pure in that. But the thought that someone can see inside and Jesus sees inside, and we can invite him to show us and help us with our blind spots. Some of you don't let people into your life. Some of you are here today and you don't let people speak into your life. I don't let everybody speak into my life because I want to know the people that I'm dealing with. But I'll tell you, all of us need to have an open ear. We need to be careful, but we shouldn't be closed to the spoken voice from outside of ourselves. God wants to speak to us because there are some things you cannot possibly see that need to be seen. That's the first thing we can do. The second thing we can do is we can change our diet if you have a heart problem. I've been through, I don't say every test for the heart, but I've had a lot of tests. I've had stuff put inside of me and go through my veins, and I have a left bundle blockage, which sounds terrible, but I've had it ever since I was born. And this the electrical system, the worst probably that could happen is I'd have to have a little pacer, heart pacer down the road. But because of that and some other things, I've had lots and lots of tests, and they put this dye into you, and they can actually see what's going on inside. And after all those tests, you know what they tell me? They says you need to change your diet. My cholesterol has been over 300 forever since I can remember, and that's not good, I guess. You're supposed to be down, and so I've been told I should take medicine. And as of this message, I got to rethink that, so help me rethink that this week to see if I should or not. But they can see, and they give me this book, and they says you need to change your diet. See, that's what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about food. You're eating the wrong food. You want to help your spiritual heart grow? Start watching what you're eating, what you're watching on television, what you're listening, where you're going, what you're drinking, all of those things. So you may have to change your diet a little bit. Unfortunately, if you've ever read any science medical journals, the people who have heart problems and major problems when they're sent away, you'd think that they would change if death is pending, but 90+% never change their diet. Jesus says you've got to start eating differently. You've got to start eating differently. We can eat differently. We can change our diet. I looked at those heart manuals, and I read what I could eat. I says, I might as well be dead. That's how bland it was. And I don't think the spiritual life is like that, but you've got to start eating some stuff that is helpful. And the third decision that you and I can make this morning is to take his medicine. Even as I just said that I may have to take some medicine, take his medicine and let it work on you. I'm going to ask Sandy to come join me on the platform and lead us in just a few moments. But some of the greatest medicine that I know of that can help the heart is right here. It's the cross. It represents his death. The bread, when I eat it, tells me that his body was broken. His cup, when I drink it, it reminds me that his blood was shed. And as I eat this, it's not external now, it's internal. It's gone inside. And when I drink this, it's not just something that you can see. No, it's inside. It's his cross. It's his work. You take some medicine and it starts to work. Take an aspirin before you go to bed and you don't even remember you took it and you don't even know it's working, but all of a sudden it's at work inside. I feel like we're supposed to conclude today by taking communion and let God do some heart surgery. Some may be here today, and I think that there are some here. You really need a heart transplant. You have never, ever opened your heart to Jesus Christ. You've never asked him, I want you to guide my life. I want you to get in the driver's seat. I've been driving my own life, doing my own thing. And for you, if you're here today and you've never made that decision, just bow your heads. Let me just pause for a second. Just bow your head. If you're here today, you need a heart transplant. You've really never asked Jesus to lead your life. You've never asked him to come and show you the way. You've never confessed that you're a sinner and you need salvation. Would you just raise your hand? Is there anyone here in that situation? Anyone here? And that's just raise your hand. This is a moment. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. Yes. Yes. Anybody at all? Yes. Raise your hand if you're there. Yes, back there. Yes. 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 You've not asked him to be Lord. Well, he comes today and says, I'm going to give you a transplant. Would you just repeat these words as a prayer, folks, with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I've come to you today. Something's wrong with my heart. Heal my heart. I'm a sinner. But now, because I call out to you, I'm saved by grace. You're my Savior. I repent from my sins. I turn to you. I start following you as of right now. Help me, O Lord. Now that prayer, if you prayed that, you can look at me now. If those of you who raise your hands, if you prayed that prayer from your heart, you're welcome to come down and partake of the bread and the juice. This is something for Christians. This is something people who say, I believe in God. They do. This reminds them of them. So now that you've made that decision, you can come down and you can partake. We'd love to give you some information before you leave that'll help you grow too. So please see me if you raise that decision, or see Pastor Jeff down here. One of us will get you some information. But there are other people here today. Some of you got broken hearts. Some of you got broken hearts. Maybe it's a relationship that went bad. Maybe you lost your business. Maybe you're head over heels in debt because of dumb decisions you've made. You got a broken heart. Some of you got a hardened heart. And not just because you've sinned. I'm in the ministry all the time, and sometimes my heart can get hardened because I get peopled out. I get burned out on people. Yeah, well, you got a need. Everybody else does too. You can start to get a hard heart. That's where you have to say, God, heal my heart. Some of you got a dirty heart. You've been doing some things even as recently as last night. You were involved in stuff that really you know is wrong, but you need to get clean. That's available today before you leave. Let's let God now do. I don't know why you came, but you came for, and you're going to get heart surgery today. And if you're so inclined, I'm going to invite you to stand. There's no ever any pressure for you to come down and partake of communion, but we're going to invite you to do that for the next 10 minutes. Take the cup. Take the piece of bread. You can go to the altar. You can go back to your seat. You can stand alone. You can stand with a family. I don't care how you want to partake of it, but you do it. Spend some time with God. Let him do what he wants to do today. God bless you. Stand up and let's just start. Sandy, lead us in worship.
Yourself. give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live. Every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Just sing it one more time and just sing it with Sandy. Would you do that? Just sing it with her one more time through.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment
stand with me, would you please? Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart." With all your heart. Well, it didn't end up very good. A lot of the disciples left when they heard Jesus talk like that. But then he turned to his disciples, and so I'm going to turn to you as the disciples. Are you going to go too? Are you going to go too? Are you going to go? Well, I hope that we're of the lot that says, no, I'm willing to get some benefits because I really do need some God to do some things. Nothing wrong with coming to God with your needs. I need stuff all the time. Nothing wrong with wanting to be comfortable. That's why I'll put the air conditioning on in my car and go home. Nothing wrong with taking the rock out of your shoe if it's hurting you. Nothing wrong with comfort and convenience. But when push comes to shove, will you sacrifice? Will you give it your all? Will you follow when it's not convenient? Will you follow when it's not comfortable? Will you follow when you're not getting anything? You'll just sacrifice. That's the key. Nothing wrong with those other things. But he's calling today for people who have hearts that will follow him like that. So I hope you'll be back next week. How many of you love me? Can you raise your hand? Just like, okay, there's enough. Okay, as long as there's a couple of you there. Just a little insecure, want to make sure. I love. We love Jesus, and if you're visiting for the first time today, I hope you pick up our heart. We really do just want to be like Jesus, and Jesus is more than just this building. He's not restricted by these walls. Really, when you dismiss, as you'll notice those signs out front, you're going to now enter the mission field, so he's going to go with you, and wherever you are and whatever you do, you release the kingdom of God. Let's serve him this week. Let's let his life happen. Father, whatever hearts were broken, heal them. Whatever hearts needed to be cleansed, clean them. Whatever hearts, Jesus, that were deceived and unknowing of what was going on, let revelation happen to them. I thank you for the communion table, your bread, your body, the juice, your blood was given to us so freely. And we thank you today immensely for all that you have done. Bless not my people, but your people today, Jesus. You're the great shepherd. I'm just a little under shepherd. You're the shepherd. You're the one who challenges us. And thank you for not condemning us. Because I'm pretty self-centered, Lord, myself. And you've never condemned me, never criticized. But you have challenged me, and I want to move beyond. I want to grow. I want the book of John and what it speaks. I want it to happen in me, Jesus. I want the progression of faith to take place so that I will experience eternal life, that quality of life that can be experienced right now. Oh, God, let it happen, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hug about 300 people, and then you can leave, okay? Lord bless you.